You know, the choir this morning, the adult choir, sang a song that I always have loved, even away from Easter. Most of the time we sing He Lives during the Easter time, but He Lives is a wonderful song that you can sing year-round. He walks with me and He talks with me. And I trust that that you have that experience every day. You know, the Lord walked in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And last Sunday I shared with you how the Lord Jesus came alongside two disciples who were a little disenchanted, a little saddened because of the even though they had heard the report of Christ having been raised from or having risen from the dead, they still were kind of doubting. They just did not. One of the biggest problems they had was the fact that they couldn't see the Lord Jesus. And as Julie shared with us this morning, with the youth, that Thomas himself, even though all the disciples came to him and said that they have seen the risen Christ, Thomas doubted. Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail prints or the prints of the nails in the hands and the wound in his side, I'll not believe." But Jesus was walking right alongside them, all the disciples on their way to Emmaus, and they didn't even know that. Jesus is present here in this sanctuary this morning. I believe that without any doubt whatsoever. I believe that Jesus walks with us and talks with us every day as long as we'll open our hearts and receive that wonderful blessing. This morning, if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn back to Luke chapter 24 again. We're going to continue. With those disciples who have experienced that wonderful blessing of a marvelous Sunday school lesson that the Lord Jesus taught them as they traveled 7 miles from Jerusalem to a little hamlet, if you will, of Emmaus. And as I shared last Sunday, they had no idea that it was the Lord Jesus. He withheld his identity from them, and God can do that. God can do marvelous things. And so there's no problem with me believing that there was a very good reason. Well, there was a good reason for Jesus for the disciples not being able to identify the Lord Jesus, and it's important. Jesus was going to be leaving, and if Jesus had to walk with them physically, if they had to see His physical presence every day, it was going to be hard for them to go out and be bold men proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. If in fact their own They doubted themselves unless Jesus was present with them. Last Sunday morning we saw how Christ took the Scriptures and revealed the wonderful truth of His death, His burial, and His resurrection to the saddened hearts of two of His disciples as they walked on the road to Emmaus. They didn't know He was Jesus. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24, if you'll look at verses 15 and 16, it says, And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning we thank You for another opportunity to fellowship in Your Word. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, who has made it possible by the shed blood on the cross and that marvelous resurrection morning for us to have a home in glory by and by one day. Father, we ask Your blessing upon each one that's come this way as well. Lord, we pray that hearts would be opened. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and it's a Word that pierces hearts. It's not my opinion of the Word. It's not my paraphrase of the Word. It is the Word of God that pierces the heart, that brings understanding and enlightenment to each and every heart. And so, Father, this morning I pray that as we've come with open hearts to receive a blessing from on high. Again, Father, we ask Your blessing this morning. You get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. So these disciples were in doubt about the Lord's resurrection, and so Christ, concealing His identity, began to share with them in all of the Scriptures the things pertaining to Him. And as the disciples arrived at their destination, the Bible says in verse 29 of Luke chapter 24, it says, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and Christ," that is, He, made as though he would have gone further. In other words, the disciples are coming to their place where they're to the little hamlet where they're going to be staying, and Jesus, as he was sharing with them, he finished sharing with them, and it seemed as though he was going to continue on the road, but they compelled him to come. They constrained him to come and to abide with them because the hour was late. Verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. Now, they still don't know that that's Jesus. This is just a stranger to them. But the stranger has really touched their hearts in a marvelous way, because all that 7 miles he's been teaching them and sharing with them the Holy Scriptures. And the Bible, and verse 30 says, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave to them. They've invited Christ to come in. They've invited Christ, even though they don't know it's Jesus, they've invited the Lord Jesus to come in and to abide with them. And so as Jesus sits down at the table, he breaks the bread, and the Bible says, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. And verse 31 says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that exciting? I mean, we've seen Star Trek, you know, Scotty beam me up, Scotty beam me up, Scotty beam me down, whatever. Well, here is a reality of the truth of one of these days, you and I will have the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as well, you and I will be able to come and go in amazing ways. But the Bible says that Jesus broke bread with them. He opened their eyes so that they would recognize him, and then he vanished out of their sight. After having their understanding open to the Scriptures and their eyes open to Jesus, Jesus vanished out of their sight. And the Bible says in Luke 24, verses 32 and 33, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? Not his identity. Their hearts burned within them by virtue of this stranger just sharing the Holy Scriptures. Sharing the Holy Scriptures with them. Verse 33 says, and they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now, my goodness, it's after dark. It's after dark. They've just traveled this 7 miles. You know, 7 miles is a long way when you're walking. And so they had some exciting news to tell the other disciples, and it was important and exciting enough for them to walk 7 miles back to Jerusalem in the dark to share their wonderful experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they arrived, they could hardly get a word in edgewise. Everybody was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This past week, or last Sunday, I was listening to some testimony or some teaching on the History Channel about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, or about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one theologian, listen to what this theologian said. This theologian made the comment that the crucifixion of Christ was probably a little known event in Jerusalem. He goes on to say, he was, to the masses, just one more criminal being executed on a cross. Little attention was probably given to this particular matter. You believe that? I believe that this theologian ought to go back and read the Holy Scriptures. They ought to go back and open up the Scriptures and read the testimony of the disciples. Look at verse 18 of Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, verse 18, it says, and the one of them, now here's these two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus has come alongside, and this is what this disciple said. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? So there was a lot of folks, there was a lot of excitement and a lot of attention given to the crucifixion of this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll remember over his cross was placed a superscription that was written in Latin and in Hebrew and in Greek, that this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, so that the whole world would have a testimony of who this man was hanging on the cross. According to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, you would have to be a complete stranger arriving in Jerusalem not to know about the crucifixion of the man called Jesus. The Bible says that the disciples rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." I think that's a wonderful piece of scripture right there. Verse 34, you ought to underline that, because Simon Peter was the one who we have a great the recording of, where he denied the Lord Jesus Christ once, no, twice, no, three times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, and three times in his denial, it didn't come like one, two, three, like one person coming to him right after another. There was a time span in between each denial. If you read the scriptures, you'll find that there was a space of 1 hour at one point in time between the time that the second and probably the third time that Peter denied even knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think to yourself, if you had walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you had walked on the Sea of Galilee, boy, wouldn't that be something that you would remember? If you saw the resurrection of Lazarus, wouldn't that be something powerful that you would remember and you'd take to heart about the Lord? And if Jesus told you that before the hour, before the cock crow twice, that you'll deny me thrice, wouldn't you think that within that hour he would remember what the Lord Jesus had said? But no, three times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, hear how wonderful it is that God had told him exactly what was going to happen to him, exactly how he would fail in his testimony and his relationship to Christ. And yet, here the first person, and in fact, the scripture seems to make it clear that the first person that the resurrected Christ appeared to, not the first person, but one of the first disciples, was Peter. But verse 34 saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." All of these are gathered around and they're all sharing something wonderful that has happened to them, some testimony or some vision or some appearing. Verse 35, and here's these two disciples. "And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." You see that? The doors, other scriptures make it clear that the doors were shut. Jesus just appeared right out of nowhere. And he was standing right in the midst of them. And it shook them up pretty bad. They thought he was a ghost. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, saying unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Did you know that the rapture of the church will take place just as quickly as Jesus is appearing and disappearing in the scriptures? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, the Bible says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, God will change these mortal bodies as we are standing, as we're breathing, as we're at our workplace. And God will call us up to meet him in the air, like that, in a split second. And the Bible tells us that we shall be caught up in that instant to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. And when that day comes, we too will be able to come and go as miraculously as Christ does, because we will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We will have the same body as the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, Paul says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." And so Christ is not subject. Christ was not subject then. He's not subject today to the natural laws of this earth. And neither will we be one day. I'm looking forward to that day. Verse 38 says, "And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." You know, a ghost doesn't have a flesh and bone. A ghost doesn't have a body. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, he rose physically. Don't let the Jehovah's Witnesses try to teach you that he rose spiritually only, and that he just took a body just so that he could convince the disciples he was alive. No, Jesus rose physically. He rose physically, and he appeared to his disciples in that physical form. He invited them to touch his hands and to touch his body and see that he was fully alive and fully flesh and bone. He says, behold, verse 39 again, behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy, and wondered. This is so marvelous, they just couldn't believe this. They could see it, they understood what they saw what they saw, but it was too glorious, too exciting to be able to take that into heart. And so it says, and while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. A ghost can't do that. A spirit can't do that. Christ, when he rose, he had a physical body that could enjoy food. These verses answer one of the most puzzling questions of the church. What kind of a body will I have in heaven? Well, what kind of a body did Jesus have? Even though his resurrected body was the same, it was radically different. He could appear and disappear at will, travel from one place to another instantly, and at the same time in that resurrected body, sit down and eat food. One of these days in Christ's kingdom to come, we will sit down to a great homecoming supper. Christ himself will rise and serve each one of us. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How exciting a day that'll be. How wonderful that'll be, by and by, that we have the same body as the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will have new bodies just like Christ, bodies that are no longer subject to pain or decay or death, bodies that are free of weariness, heartache, suffering, sadness, and sorrow. These are all the promises of God found in the Scriptures. So by and by, you and I will take on that same body that the Lord Jesus Christ has. Verse 44 says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, I want you to know that what Christ has just done right there was he has identified from Genesis to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures. In the Hebrew Scriptures, you know, we have in the King James translation of the Bible, we have 39 books in the Old Testament. They begin with Genesis and they end with Malachi. Well, in the Hebrew Testament, it begins with Genesis, but it ends with in 2 Chronicles. Although all of the books that are in the King James translation, the 39 books of the King James translation are exactly the same as the Hebrew Testament. They don't call it the Old Testament; it's the Hebrew. And they refer to it as Jesus has referred to it here. He says in verse 44 again, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, that's the beginning, and in the prophets, that's in the middle, and in the Psalms concerning me. That's all of the testimony of the Hebrews Testament. Christ is the Son born to a virgin. Christ is the light of the world. Christ is the Redeemer of the world. Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, familiar to all Christians, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Clearly, God is pointing every heart to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus means when he says, all the things written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. And then verse 45, the scripture says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the what? Scriptures. The Scriptures. The Bible teaches that it's the Scripture that cuts to the heart, as I've already said. And that's what you and I need to stay close to today. We have the very presence of the Holy Spirit that gives us wisdom and understanding, opens up the understanding of God's Word as we read it. Verse 46, the Bible says, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Isn't that wonderful? To the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, God didn't allow them to know who He was until they were confident in the Scriptures, until He convinced them that the Scriptures were true. And then, as Jesus appears to those in the upper room, or to those the disciples in this particular text, He also brings them right back to the Holy Scriptures, to the Scriptures. And so Christ appeared to His disciples, but not all of His disciples were present. Thomas was absent. If you'll turn to John chapter 20, let's just get, in closing, let's just get a testimony of John, of Thomas. In John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24, Julie shared that wonderfully with the little folks this morning. John chapter 20, verse 24. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you." Here again, the Lord Jesus comes out of nowhere. "Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." You know, there, as I've shared many times before, there is no record here that Thomas ever did what he was invited to do, or ever did what he said that he would have to do in order to believe that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my" what? "My Lord and my God." And verse 29, "Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." You know, you and I are Christians today not because we have seen the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are Christians today because of what? Faith. Our faith in what the Scriptures teach us about the resurrected Christ. We believe that the Scriptures are true. We believe that the Lord is speaking to us through the Scriptures. And the saddest thing about, and let me just say this, if you are a Christian today and you're like the disciples on the road to Emmaus and you're sad and you're down and you're beleaguered and you have no confidence and excitement in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because you're neglecting the Word. You have little faith in what this Word has to say. Because I can tell you, if you're reading through the Psalms, if you're down and out and you want to and you need to be lifted up, go to the Psalms and read some of the Psalms, and they will encourage you and they'll lift you up. King David has done a great, marvelous work for us in his lifetime during his turbulent life. King David was moved. The Lord moved upon King David to pen some marvelous Psalms as Psalms of encouragement to us. If we're saddened, if we're like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus and we're just discouraged, what we need to do is exactly what Jesus did for them. He called them back to the Holy Scriptures, and the Bible and the disciples said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as He opened to us the Scriptures?" My friends, this is the light. This is the lamp. You know, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How's your path today? What is it? What's burdened you? What kind of a heavy load are you carrying? Well, I can tell you this: God can give you encouragement. God can give you some spiritual uplifting if you'll consult with Him and let Him encourage you and strengthen you. Trust in His Word. Trust in Thy Word. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the testimony of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. We thank You, Father, for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the disciples on that precious and wonderful day, that the evening of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then 8 days later, Father, the Lord Jesus was faithful to even to appear before Thomas and allow him to follow through with his concern that unless he could touch the body of the Lord Jesus, he would not believe. And yet just the appearing of Christ just dismissed any action that he would want to take in such a way. Father, I thank You for these that have come this morning, these who are Christians. They're faithful, Father. They love You. They seek Your guidance and direction every day. I pray that if there's one here this morning for some reason who's carrying a burden on their heart, some reason, something that they just can't get over, we pray this morning that they'll bring that burden to an old fashioned altar, Father, where they can lay down that burden and leave that with the Lord Jesus. Father, move upon us this morning. You get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. And all God's people said, amen.